give you all a very warm welcome to this morning's worship service. We are grateful to our pastor who will be leading this time and bringing to us God's word. The service following this one will be the 5:30 prayer meeting and then an evening service at 6. Thank you.
Praise ye the Lord, praise ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Let us stand for prayer.
Amen.
Almighty and ever blessed God, we come into thy presence to worship thee. Lord, may we be helped in this, for it is through the desire of our hearts. O gracious God, may we know that fatherly forgiveness as we confess and acknowledge our sins of this day and this past week. Cleanse us, O Lord, we pray. May we know that help in worshipping thee. May we know that warmth, we pray. We pray for the movement of the Holy Spirit as we worship thee this morning, and may our eyes be focused on Christ, our risen, victorious Redeemer. Oh, we thank thee for him, we thank thee for his life here upon earth, his sacrificial death upon the cross, and his glorious resurrection. Oh Lord, hear us now, for the sake of him, and be glorified. Amen.
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 Our first praise is Psalm number 95, verses 1 to 6, and the tune is Gregory, Psalm 95, verses 1 through to verse 6. O come, let us sing to the Lord, come let us everyone, a joyful noise make to the rock of our salvation. Psalm number 95, verses 1 to 6.
Amen.
Come, let us
with
is to be found in Ruth. We come to the third chapter and we're reading verses 1 to 18. Ruth, from the third chapter, verses 1 to 18.
Yeah.
Let us hear God's word. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is this not Boaz, our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in, and uncover his feet, and lay thee down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly, and uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, and turned himself, and, behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, albeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tell this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, Bring the bell that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went out into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, Who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, These 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. Amen. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his holy and precious word. Well, in light of those words we've just read in verse 18, we're going to sing now Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verses 1 through to verse 7. And the tune is Naomi, one of the set tunes for this psalm, Psalm 37, verses 1 through to verse 7. For evildoers, fret thou not thyself unquietly, nor do thou envy bear to those that work iniquity. Set thou thy trust upon the Lord, and be thou doing good, and so thou in the land shalt dwell, and verily have food. Psalm 37. We're singing verses 1 through to verse 7, and the tune is Naomi.
Oh, evil doer, lay thy love, thy soul.
For this opportunity to turn again to Thee in prayer. And we would address Thee this morning as our Heavenly Father, and we take great comfort in drawing near to such a one as Thou art, such a great and a holy God, but such a loving and caring God, for Thou art a Father, O Lord. And we thank Thee for the lessons we have learned in Thy Word this morning concerning the character of Ruth, and the character of Naomi. Help us, O Lord, to be like Ruth, conducting ourselves wisely in this world. And may we be like Naomi, placing our trust in Thee. And, O Lord, we would rest in Thee as we have just sung, and we would wait patiently. We would commit our way unto Thee, for Thou art the one who is over all, and Thou art the one who will provide all our needs and lead us on towards home. Oh, we give Thee praise. Help us, O Lord. We thank Thee for what we have heard, and we thank Thee for what we have sung. O Lord, help us to so be found doing, to live in the light of these examples, and to trust in Thee. We do thank Thee for the return of this Thy day, the day upon which our Saviour rose victoriously from the grave, and we do thank Thee for Him. Death could not keep Him, and He rose victoriously, and then later ascended up into heaven. Oh, we give praise. We thank Thee, He is the One, sitting at Thy right hand, our blessed Saviour, our Redeemer, He who is the mighty God, He who is the One who bears the name, the Prince of Peace, and Wonderful. Oh, we would rest in Him. Oh, we look out in the world where we see so much unrest, we hear of war, O Lord, and many affliction. We look to Thee, and we would rest in the Prince of Peace. Oh, we thank Thee for Him. We thank Thee He is there in heaven, appearing for us, and He ever liveth to make intercession for us, that we will be kept, preserved, helped, encouraged, strengthened, and that we would know more joy and comfort because of what He did here upon earth. We thank Thee for the opportunity to worship Thee, and help us to continue to worship Thee in prayer and in praise. And as we hear Thy word preached this morning, O speak to us, we pray. Bless Thy word to our hearts this day. And in other places, O Lord, we would remember Thy servant in Holywell and Salisbury. We remember Thy servant in Cardiff and Barnstable, and many other fellowships near and far. We will commit unto Thee today. Bless Thy people, O Lord, though we in this country feel our smallness We thank thee still, there are many lights in this country. O Lord, bless every light. Use them for thy glory. Bless every congregation. May they know a little of thee in heaven today. O Lord, we beseech thee, send encouragement and help. We pray, build up thy cause in these days. We pray for a movement of the Holy Spirit, that many would be brought to see their need of Christ, having been convicted of their sin, even in this locality, but further afield and up and down this country. Oh, for such a work today, a movement of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of the unconverted, but also in our hearts, that the graces would be cultivated, that our love would be strengthened, and so our faith and hope and peace. Oh, we pray, work in our souls, O Lord, this day. We do thank thee for the children here. Bless them. We thank thee for those in Sunday school earlier. We commit them unto thee and bless them and those gathered here this morning. May they in their lives know that they are lambs in the arms of the shepherd, having faith in thee. Oh, we pray for this, O Lord. We pray for the young people. Do lead them and guide them. Help them at every stage, particularly those with decisions to make this year regarding the next stage on their journey, whether it be education or otherwise, O Lord. Be with them, we pray. May they know much of the shepherd's leading, much of the shepherd's care, and that love and support, we pray. We do pray for those who mourn today. We pray particularly for the family of Betty. We commit them unto thee. We pray that they would yet know comfort at this time. And we pray that they would think on the Saviour. Oh, what a friend he is, a friend in an hour of trial, the only hope of heaven. Oh, Lord, we pray that they would be drawn to him, that they would be found putting their faith, their trust in him. Oh, Lord, we pray for them, for others who need our prayers particularly today in the congregation. We commit unto thee. We do pray for the situation in Ukraine. We would remember particularly those Baptist pastors going around certain cities delivering food and medicine, and many others from different denominations, O Lord. We pray for thy people. We pray for those who have stayed in the cities to help at this time. We pray for the church, O Lord, draw near to the church in Ukraine. We thank thee for what thou hast done. We thank thee for a strong light in Ukraine. Oh, be with them. For those who mourn amongst the congregations, be near to them. And we do pray for all who are suffering in that place, that they might know that help and comfort that comes alone from thee. Meet their practical, physical needs, Lord. We do pray, O Lord, that thou would overall, and this war would soon hastily be brought to a conclusion. O Lord, we beseech thee. O Lord, deal in a way of justice with those who have dealt wickedly with men. O, we pray for this, O Lord. We pray for the church in Ukraine. Bless it in years to come. O, build up the cause there in Ukraine. We know it needs to be built up physically. Churches will need to be built again. But Lord, build up thy people, particularly spiritually, O Lord. We would remember thy people in Russia. O Lord, draw near to them. May their prayers be heard as well, that this war would come to a conclusion. Give wisdom to our leaders, Lord. May they yet seek wisdom from thee, for thou art the fount of all true wisdom. O bless us now then, draw near. May we know a touch of heaven this morning. May we know the warmth of Christ, the nearness of thee. O Lord, help us, O Lord. Help us on our journey. Help us to walk a closer walk with thee. Hear us. O glory be to thee. Thou art worthy, and worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Hear us, O God. Forgive our many sins, that which is amiss, for Christ's sake.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Our third praise is Psalm 66, verses 6 through verse 12, and the tune is Glasgow. Into dry land the sea he turned, and there a passage had, in marching through the flood on foot, there we in him were glad. And we particularly noticed in light of the sermon this morning, verse 10, but thou didst prove and try us, Lord, as men did silver try, brought us into the net and made bands on our loins to lie. Psalm 66, we're singing verses 6 to 12, and the tune is Glasgow.
Into dry land,
desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Dear congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ rose victoriously from the grave. A battle he had faced, yet he overcame that battle. What a battle it was with sin and death and hell. And what a battle he faced with the devil here upon earth, in an intense and exhausting battle in which Satan fiercely and repeatedly attacked with a weapon of great evil, Jesus held his ground and defeated our great enemy. He overcame. He was victorious. In Psalm 24, verse 8, in view of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And so he was. Oh, what a blessing to know him, to be following such a king. He is the King of glory. He shines in excellency, as we considered a few weeks ago. What a blessing to know him, to be following him. Are you following King Jesus, the victorious one? Well, as we think of him, how he defends and protects his people. Dear brothers and sisters, are we not thankful for him? But we have our enemies who seek our hurt. And particularly we think this morning of our enemy Satan, who seeks our hurt. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5 verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." How important it is that we watch and pray, that we are on our guard. Now Satan is a defeated foe. He has lost his suffocating grip over the nations. However, he is still a powerful enemy. And dear child of God, he hates you. He wishes that he could have you back, but he knows he cannot have you back. Therefore, though he cannot have you back, he will seek your hurt. Dear brethren, let us not forget there is satanic activity, and Satan himself seeks your harm. Be on your guard, for there is one on the prowl. Dear brothers and sisters, be thankful that he cannot snatch you away. He cannot snatch you away from the one who is stronger, your blessed Lord. But be careful. Use the whole armour, as we see there in Ephesians 6. Lift up the shield of faith, use the sword of the Spirit, and pray for God's help in the battle. Now as we come to this chapter, we consider that there was satanic activity very near the time of the Passover, particularly in those hours leading up to the death of our Lord. Our Lord had faced difficulties in the battle already with Satan. We think of that time of great temptation which our Lord suffered. But here now in the garden, and in this chapter, there was a bruising attack of Satan upon our Lord. There was satanic activity in view of Judas as well, but then in view of Peter and those other disciples. And our Lord informs Peter of this in verse 31. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." There will come a sifting time, particularly for Peter, but for all those true disciples as well. Now we need to understand, we will face such times of difficulty. Satan is active in seeking to harm the Lord's people. Whispers will come. The fiery darts will come. Satan is active in attacking churches and ministers of the gospel, but then also individual believers. Sifting times will be known. Well, we come to these words this morning again. Words of great help to us as we face the battle here below. And as we come to these words, I'd like us to consider our prophet, priest and king. We consider the battle, but here we consider our prophet, priest and king, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he does for us in the battle. But first of all, we consider Christ the prophet speaking to Peter. Secondly, Christ the priest making intercession for Peter. And then thirdly, Christ the king protecting and delivering Peter. Well, let's consider first of all this morning then, Christ the prophet speaking to Peter. Verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Here our Lord, as prophet, speaks to Simon Peter, that Christ is a prophet, has great authority. He has extensive knowledge and superior wisdom with which he gives his people instruction. You remember, children, he is referred to as wonderful counselor. Such skill as we consider his counsel. Such wisdom. With such authority, such extensive knowledge, such superior wisdom, he gives us instruction like he instructed Peter and those disciples. How faithful he is. In Revelation 1 verse 5, we read this, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. He is the faithful witness. He declares the word, and we can trust what he says. At the funeral on Friday afternoon, I mentioned that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Words which I spake to Betty those years ago. And I said to the congregation, I'm sure I'm telling the truth. I would not lie to you. It's true, isn't it? And our Lord is the faithful witness. He declares the truth to us. How we're to be like Mary at his feet, spiritually, listening to his word. Well, here before us, he faithfully speaks to Peter. He directs his speech towards Peter, but then towards all those true disciples. The time of sifting would come. Now, particularly, we focus on Peter, because there would come that time when he would deny the Lord. But it was a time for all the disciples, those true ones, for they would flee, would they not, as we see in the Gospel accounts. But here, Simon Peter and those true disciples were informed by Christ the prophet. And dear brothers and sisters, we are informed by Christ the prophet. We think of his offices of prophet, priest and king. And he continues to speak to us today through his word. We are instructed. You remember, we are pupils, disciples, followers of Christ. Are we a good pupil? I wasn't always a good pupil at school. I didn't always pay attention. Well, I understand why when I look back, because some of the lessons were a little dull. I wasn't always a good pupil. How are you doing as a pupil of Jesus Christ? Are you listening? He wants to speak to you. He's the faithful witness. He so loves you. He so cares for you. He wants to speak to you to help you in times of blessing, but also in times of difficulty. In times when you're in a battle and you're being sifted in a sieve, like we consider here. But Peter was informed, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And so we are informed of these things. Oh, we're to listen to the Master. We're to pay attention. Martha said to Mary, recorded for us in John 11, verse 28, the Master is come and calleth for thee. The Master is come and calleth for thee. For Christ the Master, the great prophet, the great teacher, has come through the word and calls for thee. Are you listening to him this morning? Let's pay attention. What did he say to Peter here? Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Satan hath desired to have you. And Satan desires to have you and me. He cannot get us back into his kingdom. He knows that. But he desires to have us, to cause us trouble, that we might know hurt. We're not ignorant, are we? Of his plots, of his devices. Oh, listen to Christ here this morning. Listen to what the Lord is saying. We're not to question him. We're not to debate with him. You consider his knowledge. He knows. He knows what Satan is up to. He knows when Satan draws near to you. And then consider the wisdom of Christ. So wise. He speaks so wisely to inform us that Satan desires to have us. He's so wise. He knows we need to be informed. You consider further He instructs us with such care. He is the loving shepherd who cares for our soul. He's referred to as the everlasting Father. God the Son, referred to as the everlasting Father, there in Isaiah 9 verse 6. Why? He's not the Father, the first person of the Trinity. No, he's the second person of the Trinity. But like as a Father, he so cares for us. He's the everlasting Father. And because he so cares for you and me, he informs us in that authoritative way as God prophet that we are going to face difficult times when Satan will draw near. Satan a desire to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He desires to have me. He desires to have the ministers of the gospel. And so he will cause trouble and stir up difficulties for them, but also for you, because he desires to have you. Now we're informed here of a sifting time. What did our Lord say? Satan have desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. We're given notice, so we need to pay attention. As we mentioned, there are certain ones who are chief targets, like faithful ministers of the gospel. But we will all be targeted to some measure. Certain ones will find themselves tired and weary in the battle. Certain ones will find such a fierce and ferocious attack. There will be many barrages of arrows coming their way. We will all face such to some measure. And the Lord informs us. A time of sifting. It would come quickly for Peter. Peter would be sifted. He would deny his Lord. What a testing time it was. Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The arrows came. Don't follow Christ. Deny Christ. Don't stand up for him. The time of sifting comes. Now we note these words, Satan had desired to have you. It's very strong in the Greek. He desires, he demands, he wants you. And so he will send the fiery doves. So he will send the whispers. He can use others. You think how he even used Peter, one of the Lord's followers. And what did our Lord say to Peter on one occasion? Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. He was used as a mouthpiece, Peter. And the Lord can even use other Christians, sadly. The devil wants us. He wants to shake us up, like in a sieve. You think in olden days there would be a sieve and the corn would be put into the sieve and it would be shaken up to get rid of the chaff. But it's the other way round with Satan. He would like the grace to be dispensed with. He wants you to become weak. He knows he cannot get you back. He knows you will not fall from grace, but oh, he tries. He will not prevail, but he will shake you up and down. I don't know if you've ever been on a roller coaster. I've never been near one. I've seen pictures of people going on a roller coaster, and that's enough for me. The wise who say no, I'm not doing that. I went on a roundabout in a little teacup many years ago in Somerset. That was enough for me. But you know what it's like, up and down? Maybe at times it's up and down. You're seeking to look to the Lord, and then suddenly, like you're on a vessel, and you plunge down into the depths as the wave passes through. Up and down, you're saved, you're shaken. You remember godly Asa? His faith was greatly shaken in Psalm 73. God is good to Israel, but as for me, oh, he looked out and he saw how the Lord was blessing others. But he began to question, what's happening to me? He was being shaken, and there's times when we're shaken. It may be other causes, but sometimes it's because Satan is sifting us in a sieve. He's shaking us. The arrows keep coming. One arrow comes, and you look to the Lord, but then another arrow comes, and another arrow comes, and you feel so shaken. He wants to harm you. His temptations come often, and seemingly there's hardly a break between them. He so harasses you and assaults you. He knocks you about like one in a ring. He sifts you in the sieve, knocked about. You know what that's like, knocked about by Satan. It's an experience the Lord's people from time to time face. It's not all the time. When we think of the life of Christ, there were particular intense seasons, but it wasn't all the time. The devil left our Lord for a while, for a season. He came back. It's not constant, but there are times when we're sieved in a sieve. And we so long for relief and deliverance. Do not underestimate him. Yes, he's limited because of what Christ has done, but he's still alive. Some of you can remember going to Marwell Zoo, and there was a tiger, I believe, in this particular area. The tiger came near, frightened some of the children. I don't think any of the children here are frightened, but the tiger would come near and frighten, but the tiger could only go so far. Well, the devil can only go so far, but he can still frighten, can't he? Do not underestimate him. Well, our Lord gives notice here to Simon Peter and to those disciples, and he gives notice to us all. The prophet is speaking. Are you listening? In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10 and 11, we read, "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." We're not ignorant. Let's not for one moment even begin to close our eyes. Don't let the world pull at your heart. Let us not be ignorant of his devices, his purposes, his designs, his plots, his planning. He plots against you. We will face difficulties. Our Lord informs us of this. Oh, how he cares for me. Oh, how he cares for you. He tells me, you're going to face difficulties. As a loving shepherd, he draws near to inform us, but also, as we see here, to comfort us. Is the prophet speaking to inform of difficulties, but also to comfort? Verse 32, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." I have prayed for thee. We'll come on to this in a moment. Is the prophet speaking? I prayed for thee. Yes, you're going to face difficulties, but I'm praying, I'm making intercession. And thou art going to be converted. What does that mean? Restored. Yes, he would always remain a true believer, but he backslid in the sieve. He would be converted, restored, returned, close to the shepherd's side. What a word of comfort that is. And then consider this. There will come deliverance, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He will be helped, and there will be more work for him to do. Here's the prophet then. In love, he comes to speak, to inform us of difficulties, but then to inform us. He hasn't forgotten us. He prays for us. He makes intercession for us. And he will deliver. And in the meantime, there is support. Just note these words again. "But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not." Deliverance will come, but in the meantime, there is support. He's making intercession. He's not forgetting us. His grace is sufficient. Well, let's move and consider secondly now. Christ the priest making intercession for Peter. Christ the priest making intercession for Peter. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in compassion as a prophet, he informs us of difficulty. But then also in compassion as a priest, he makes intercession for us. And it's amazing in these two verses, isn't it? We see the threefold office of Christ here, and how he acts as prophet, priest, and king. For we come to consider second again, Christ the priest, making intercession for us. But I pray for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I have prayed for thee. He had prayed, and he was praying. And he will continue to pray for Peter in the sifting time that soon would come. Now just think of this. Doesn't it speak volumes of the love of our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ? Think of Peter. In the sifting time, Peter would deny Jesus. But his loving high priest would not forget him. And in love, he would be praying for Peter, even when Peter was denying his Lord. I have prayed for thee. What love. How we forget him at times. How we fail. In a sifting time, it may be like it was for Peter. Yet he doesn't forget. He makes intercession. He is our sympathizing high priest. He faced the battle. He faced such an intense battle with the evil one. He sympathizes when we face the battle with the evil one and does not forget. In Hebrews 7 verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. But we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's touched, he sympathizes, and he continues to make intercession. He makes intercession. The Greek word speaks of to entreat, to confer with. He makes intercession with the Father. We are ever on his heart. Whether we be in a difficult time when we're being sifted and we forget our Lord, he doesn't forget us. Or in other times, another sifting time, and it's so hard and our enemies have come around, he doesn't forget us. We are ever on his heart. We are graven on the palms of his hand. How often do I think of Jesus in the day? How often Jesus thinks of me in the day? And I have to confess, there's a great contrast, isn't there? But I'm so thankful. He never takes his eyes off me. He never forgets. He's always making intercession. Oh, how great he is. Just consider at this moment, he's leading the song in heaven. He's receiving the praise. He's talking with those that loved him, who left this world. He is reigning over the church. He is supporting billions of his people in his arms. And at the same time, amongst many other things, he thinks of me and thinks of you, and he makes intercession. What a high priest, a compassionate high priest. When we fail him, he doesn't fail us. He makes intercession. He's thinking of us every moment. He's thinking of you now. What does he see? He doesn't forget you. Every day he thinks on you. Every moment of the trial, every moment of the battle, he thinks on, and he confers with the Father, and he makes intercession. How great he is. For not only does he do it for me and you, he does it for all his people. And those who are in glory, he's making intercession that they would be more happy. How great is his mind. How extensive is his knowledge. How wonderful he is that he forgets none of his people and pleads for them. He entreats. Let them be helped, upheld, protected for, cared for because of my precious blood. Let them have a sense of the divine love and comfort. Let them have a sense of protection and care. Let them be delivered in my good time because of my precious blood. Every moment, the blood of Jesus Christ is being spoken of in heaven. And remember, as we considered a few weeks ago, the Lord said, when I see the blood, remember the blood over the doorpost and the lintels, the angel of death, the destroyer will pass over. But the Lord is ever seeing the blood as Christ makes intercession, and so we're upheld. So we know protection, and in time there will come deliverance. There are times when we sense his presence and are helped and comforted because of the prevailing and powerful intercession of Christ. We may not sense it at times, but he's there interceding, and so in time we know that strengthening and that help. Just take comfort in these words. But I have prayed for thee, whatever you're going through, whether it be a sifting time, a time of backsliding, or a time of great trial, a perplexing time, which way, Lord, lead me and guide thee? Christ the King, Christ the Priest, rather, is making intercession for you. And not particularly these words, but I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. Yes, at times he looked on Peter. Where is thy faith? What do we mean there? Where's the exercise of faith? But faith was there. He would look on Peter when Peter denied him. Where is thy faith? But faith was still there, that grace of faith. That thy faith fell not. In the greatest storm we may be shaken, and we may be at our wit's end, as we see in Psalm 107, but he makes intercession, that our faith fail not. And through the ministry of the Holy Spirit there comes this strengthening, and we're able to focus again. Are we not thankful? Even in the deepest valley, the fiercest battle, the greatest storm, our faith will not be taken away. Our faith will not fail. Throughout the battle, throughout the storm, throughout the valley, our high priest, who has a heart touched by the feeling of our infirmities, is making intercession. When you can't focus on him, when you're struggling, he's so focused on you, and he's turning again to the Father. Remember my precious blood. Remember that I redeemed them. Come to their aid. Strengthen them and help them. He entreats the Father for blessing, for support. Do you notice he's supported? But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. There's support. Our faith will not fail. And there's support. He's entreating. Now he pleads as a whole, the blessings purchased with his blood be given us. And that includes support. That includes strengthening. In Romans chapter 8 verse 31 we read, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You see there is a whole. He pleads for us in view of what he accomplished here upon earth. He pleads his precious blood, that you will be kept, preserved, that you'll be supported, upheld, that your faith would not fail, and in time you will be delivered from your trial. And here Jesus continue to pray, and Jesus will continue to make intercession. I have prayed for thee. How he prayed here upon earth for Peter and his disciples and his people. How he prayed for them when he was growing up in Nazareth. How he prayed for them in his public ministry. How he prayed for them in the Garden of Gethsemane. How he prayed for them before Peter, before Pilate and Herod. how he prayed for us when he was hanging upon the cross, when he was charged with our sins and was being punished. He prayed for us. You only have to turn to Psalm 40 and Psalm 70 and see he pleaded that we would know joy. He prayed for us on the day of resurrection. He prayed for us when he ascended up into heaven, and now he continues to intercede for us. And he will do so all the days of your journey to heaven. He will intercede for you through the green pastures, but also through the dark and difficult valleys. He continues to intercede, and he will never stop interceding. Even in eternity, when all the people of God are together, he will continue to intercede for our happiness. Make them more happy as eternity continues to unfold. And you'll get more happy and more happy because of him who loved you and gave himself for you upon the cross of Calvary, and who will ever live to make intercession for you. Consider what he is doing there. If only we had an insight into heaven, if we could see heaven, we would see our high priest thinking of us and bearing our names to the Father. Keep them, help them, bless them. At this moment, Jesus is making intercession. Well, we thirdly consider this morning, and finally, Christ the King, protecting and delivering Peter. Christ the King, protecting and delivering Peter. As King, he speaks an authoritative word, as we note in verse 32, when thou art converted. Satan would not prevail. He as King would prevail. And Peter would come through, led by the King. Christ was reigning. Dear brothers and sisters, Christ is reigning today, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 25, and also defending us, Psalm 89 verse 15. Christ was reigning here. Peter, I'm praying for thee as high priest, but I assure thee, as King, thou art going to be converted and delivered. Restored. You'll come through this time. It's the authoritative word of the King and the power of the King to deliver Peter. We may be assaulted, harassed and injured, but we will not be plucked from the hand of our shepherd King. He will not be overcome. No, he is King. And he will deliver. Our faith may be attacked, but it will not fail, for he reigns. And Satan cannot get us back. If we backslide, we will be restored, for he is the Shepherd King, who has the power to restore. When the doubts come, when the whispers come, he is at work through his Spirit upon your conscience, and the doubt is quenched. He is the victorious King. You will be delivered from a sifting time. You're safe in the hands of your King. He's our King to defend and protect us. And where there is the need to restore us, he defends us. We see that here, do we not? But I pray for thee as I priest, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You will be defended. Satan will not get you back. And you'll know deliverance. What a King we have who is victorious. Satan is not going to snatch you from the hands of your King. He's defending you. And he will deliver, for he is the one that rides prosperously. Psalm 45. We have a King who is on our side. Satan is a defeated foe. And when he sees the King defending us, Satan knows he cannot prevail. And Satan retreats we know a little more ease, because he backs away from the King of Kings. Take comfort. You have a King to defend you. You have a high priest that makes intercession for you. And you have a prophet that speaks to you. Yes, you will face difficulties, but you're going to get through those difficulties. And there's more work to do for me until I take you home. It's not easy in the battle, but we have a great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a great high priest, and we have a great King who will lead us through. And in closing, consider this, as we return to think of him as the high priest and his intercession. It is powerful, and it prevails. So victory lies before you. Deliverance will come your way. But in the meantime, you're going to know more grace and support and take comfort. Your faith will not fail. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we come to thee. Oh, we thank thee through faith. As we read in thy word, we know we have a high priest at thy right hand, our beloved Saviour, our friend. O Lord, oh, to think more of thee as the day passes. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou dost ever think on us. We thank thee, blessed Saviour, always thou art pleading for us and speaking of the blessings of Calvary. And we thank thee for this. We thank thee that thy intercession is powerful and prevails. We will get through. There are times we may be shaken. There are times, sadly, we may backslide. Faith will never be taken out of our hearts. And we will be restored or helped. And we will be delivered. O Lord, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. But we thank thee for a King. And we thank thee, O Lord, when Satan sees the King of Kings, he backs off. Oh, we thank thee that we have a King, none other than Jesus Christ. O Lord, help us. Help us to think more of him. We thank thee for him. And how can we thank thee enough that he will ever live to make intercession? That we will be more happy in eternity because of his precious blood. And as eternity unfolds, Lord, we can't really grasp it. We'll just get more happy in view of Jesus, who loved us. Hear us, O Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen. Our time of praise is Psalm 31. Psalm 31, we're singing verses 1 to 5 to the tune Weatherby. Psalm 31, verses 1 through to verse 5. These words here, we see the psalmist placing his trust again in the Lord. Psalm 31, verses 1 to 5. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. Shamed let me never be. According to thy righteousness do thou deliver me. Notice verse 5. Into thine hands I do commit my spirit, for thou art he. O thou Jehovah, God of truth, thou hast redeemed me. Psalm 31, verses 1 to 6. And the tune is Weatherby.
In thee, O Lord, I put my trust, shameless let me never be. Thank you.
Thank you.